Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, and you are listening to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show. Today, as our featured guest, Juanita Shanks is online with us, and our host is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives, joined with my mastermind partner, Sharon Jackson. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Thank you. Thank you. And we are welcoming today Juanita Shanks. And Juanita is a U.S. veteran of the U.S. Army. And her vision is to prosper in every area of her life and to teach others to do the same. She is a lover of people. She progresses in actually a number of solution-based opportunities, and I've known Juanita for a very, very, very long time. Juanita, we are so pleased to have you as a part of our show today. And what we'd like to do is to kick the show off by talking about the book Think and Grow Rich. And many of our members have had tremendous impact from reading the book Think and Grow Rich, but not just reading the book, but actually living the book. Because oftentimes we find as we read the book, if we allow it, the book will read us. And so we'd like to start the questions for you today and sharing your favorite part of the book. But if you could start by telling us a little about yourself. Thank you.
Okay. Well, my name is Juanita Shanks, and I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. I am a U.S. Army veteran and a mother of two sons, one who's in college now at FAMU, and... Elijah, and my other son, Jeremiah, he is in the U.S. Army himself. He's in Fort Bliss, Texas, in El Paso, and his career path is military intelligence, because as he said earlier on, he wants to be an FBI agent or a U.S. federal marshal, so this is helping him along that career path. As far as myself, I currently work for a Fortune 200 company in Boca Raton, Florida, and I am a sales agent. My greater aspiration is to do exactly as my bio says, to to prosper in every area of my own life, but to also teach others to do the same. I've personally gone through a life coaching session that talked about all of those things, Anne, that you tried to influence upon my life years and years ago. But as we all know, when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. So,
well, I think I'm sorry. I apologize.
No. You can chime in at any time.
No, I was just going to suggest that we all, in life, we plant seeds, and we have to allow those seeds to be watered, pruned, and, allow them to grow. And so I am just so excited, and that's one of the reasons why we're happy to have you on the show today, because your experience can be related by a lot of people. And what I'd like to do is introduce Sharon Jackson to the show at this time, and so we can go ahead and start with the questions, because you have so very, very, very much to share. We have such little time. We do want to remind our listening audience that if you have a question you'd like to participate in the show, please just press dial 661-554-9219, 661-554-9219, and then press 1 on your phone, and we will open your line for the questions. So, Sharon, we were talking earlier before the show started, asking Juanita a couple of questions, one about her favorite part of the book, and then going on to talk about some of her affiliated books that she likes. So, Sharon, if you want to go ahead with your question, please.
Well, I think you just ask it. I think what's so important is that the book, one of the things Anne said is that as you read the book reads you. And different parts of the book relate directly to specific areas in our life. So, Anne has already asked the question, so I'm following up. What parts of the book were so significant and impacted your life the most?
I'm going to answer that question, but I'm also going to say to that question, there are several parts of this book that I believe as human beings, as we strive to do better, whatever it is, whatever our desire is, whatever our goal is, whatever that want is that we have that's yearning on the inside of us to be manifested, the book touches on that in every area, and I believe it affects every human being. I like the part about desire. I like the part about faith, about imagination and decision, and the part that I was speaking to you and Anne earlier about was how to outwit the ghost of fear, because to me, I believe that that has been my most significant roadblock, the part about fear, because desire and faith, imagination and decision, I think some people get tripped upon, but for me, those have never been things that I got tripped upon. I really appreciate the book for breaking it down into those parts so that it becomes understandable. But I've always had a significant amount of desire to do things, to problem solve, to help people. I've always had a tremendous amount of faith to just go after those things that I want and begin building. I mean, I've tried several different businesses and failed at it. And what I'm understanding is that failure is a part of success. It's where it's your learning ground and reproofing and editing yourself, your way of doing things so that you can see increase. And then imagination I love because it's a part of every solution. I believe every problem that we have that we encounter, there's definitely a solution for it because the greatest mind in the universe is always directing us to that solution. And I believe every person is gifted and has a contribution to make to the solutions that we need in our environment. And but the outwitting fear, the ghost of fear, I'm actually going to have to go over that several times just so that I can maneuver through some things that have been roadblocks for me previously. I'm determined to be successful in the area of life that I say. I was talking to Anne on yesterday about awareness, becoming more aware. I've been a Christian probably since I was 13 and a half years old, and you were talking about companion books. The Bible has always been a staple, a fundamental book in my life. And through tradition, you learn different ways of behaving and acting that are not, to me, as profitable, or they don't help you manifest to a great deal. that person that you want to become and to make the contributions that you want to make in the world. Because to me, it's I don't even know how to describe what we learn in traditional church settings. But building that awareness and knowing that God is with you and in you, and the things that you speak and the things that you think and the things that you say are all contributors to where you're headed, and then making those things fundamental and germane to everything that you do every day are what really will progress you along the way. I don't know if I got off or answered your question or not.
You did answer my question, but it led to a follow-up question.
Okay.
As you implement, I mean, we can talk, but you know what helps some people, such as myself, is
mm-hmm.
when you implement this part, implement the book and other things that you have read into your life daily, what strategies did you use, you know, to overcome
right.
fear, to... Once you realize strengths and weaknesses from business to business, how did you implement your strategies to maximize your strengths?
Okay, what I did, one of the things that I've done is I've taken an index card. I keep index cards with me now. But I've taken a particular index card, and I actually typed up on one side of it, a scripture that tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But on the other side of it, I also have a goal. It's a financial goal that I have for what I want to be earning weekly. And I also have on there that God is able to open various different channels to make that blessing a realization in my life. And reminding myself that having that with me, I have it in several places. I have it in my bathroom. I have it in my room. I have it with me in my books. When I go to work, I have it on my desk. I am a sales agent. So I have these things with me every day. And then on my way to work, when I'm up and before I get in the shower or anything, I start listening. I have quiet time. I start listening to things that feed my spirit and my mind so that I can maintain the ground that I've gained in my thinking, the change, that positive change to help me flow in that energy to get where I want to be. I always feed myself daily the information that I need to sustain where I am and grow beyond where I am.
Wow, that was powerful. It truly was. Now, I know that you spend a significant amount of time telling us about your two sons.
Mm-hmm.
Two strong men that have taken two different career paths.
Right.
How did you mold their mind? Using what you learned for your own self, how did you mold those young male minds?
When my sons were born, I made a decision. Well, when I knew I was pregnant, I guess, I made a decision that I didn't want nicknames for them. I believe words are really powerful. I've always believed from a child that words are very, very powerful because they can tear down or build up. And I made a decision that I wanted to always speak life over them. I do realize that our greatest example to our children are who we become and what we do and the things we say and how we behave. So I tried my very best. I prayed often and asked God to cover them because I was a single parent mom the whole time. But I prayed very often that my sons would, and I prayed for them and with them. I read the Bible with them. I took them to church. But I also thank God for Ann because I came into some experiences by being a part of Ann's mastermind group. She used to arrange trips to go to money shows and things like that to give them other experiences that were outside of their neighborhood, outside of what would be considered the norm for the environment that they were in. And I also talked to them about their own self-esteem. I called them handsome and I called them smart. I never let them say what they could not do. I let them know that there was, they had the ability to think and to decide what they wanted in life. And all they had to do was make a decision. Want it
work toward it and make the decision to go on and do it. They didn't have to have all of the answers. They didn't know, have to know all of the pieces, but they could go for whatever they wanted. And it didn't matter whether they were black children. One of my sons is a dark chocolate. I call him my chocolate drop. That's my oldest son. He's at FAMU. My youngest son, he's a lighter complexion, but I made sure that they knew that they were men of God, that God is their father, regardless of the fact that their dads were not present in their lives, but that they could win, that there was no obstacle, there is nothing outside in the environment that could really deter them except whatever they were thinking in their own minds about themselves.
Did you expose them to Think and Grow Rich?
Yes, ma'am. They also, both of them have a copy of the book as well. They were part of the Young Mastermind group that Ann held at her home.
Oh, talk to us about how they were impacted by the Young Mastermind group. And the reason why we say that is because it is so important to mold these children by the Mastermind principles. The more that I have access to the school system, the more that I realize it is so important to start molding their minds early and strong in the Mastermind principles. How did you see that that impacted your son's lives?
I can say that it was truly seeds that were planted over and over again by coming in contact with other youth, even though I really don't believe that many of them actually took it as seriously. As far as applying everything, I remember having to be on my sons constantly about writing things down or what have you. But the reality is, just by them going and being in the environment, by them sharing with other youth who were on the same track, reading the same book, opening the same pages, following the same mantra, those seeds that were planted, they had, I mean, you're feeding your subconscious mind all the time. So those seeds that were planted, I believe, were very fruitful for them because of the decisions that they've made as young men. One of the things that I learned about my sons, because I just believe they are so super wise, when my sons were teenagers, and me being a single mom, you know how we do. Sometimes we, you know, we yell or we, you know, we say, do what I said, do, and without explanation. But my sons were the type of young men that would come to me and sit down and have a conversation and say, Mom, you know, we're becoming young men now, and you don't have to take that tone with us. Let us, you know, we always want to keep the lines of communication open. And if you say things a certain way, it may shut that down. Now, for youth to come to a parent and say those words so that the lines of communication should remain open because that's what they desire, I believe that is just incredible. But that's how they would talk to me, and they would tell me about their day and what they wanted to do, and they have followed what they have said they wanted to do. I was glad when my oldest son decided to go to Tallahassee, because in Miami he was not doing so well at the school he was at, and he just finished up his 2 years at TCC because it didn't make sense to pay more money for those undergraduate or those lower-level classes, and he just transferred over to FAMU class to start for him on Monday. So he's excited about that, and I'm excited that he is excited about his own life. I allowed them to make their own decisions, and they have done a great job thus far.
That's great. We're about halfway through the show. I want to go back because you talked about in different ways in these first few minutes about the subconscious mind, and I want to read for a second. It says the subconscious mind works day and night, which is exactly what you talked about. You read during the day, and you meditated in the morning and in the evening. And says through a method of procedure that is not yet understood, the subconscious mind draws upon the forces of infinite intelligence with a power which is voluntarily transmutes one's desire into their physical equivalent. Now, you talked about that over and over again without being specific. You talked about it in your business development. You talked about it in the nurturing of your two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that fascinating that you developed a program to do this continually, and you planted a seed, and this is the thing. The seed, it doesn't matter if it's a good seed or a bad seed. This is something else that you talked about. It doesn't matter if it's a good seed or bad seed. The mind picks it up and it develops it.
Correct. And I found that to be true in every area of my own. I mean, when we evaluate ourselves and our level of progress, or if we say I have this goal or this dream or this thing that I want to do, and even at work, because sometimes it's very stressful if you're not meeting your quota or the number of sales that you feel you desire, it can be, for me, it can be very stressful. But what I found is that when I allow myself to step into fear subconsciously because of the things that are happening in my circumstance or in my environment at work at that time, whenever I focus, when I allow my mind to become intimidated and fearful for what I am experiencing in that moment, that seems to last for hours. But at the same time, because I also, there's something else that I do. When we sign in at work, we can put a theme or whatever we have, or whatever we want on our computer. So when I sign in to my chat, I always also put on there, Lord, you are with me always, and how grateful I am. With I am being capitalized. Now, to some, that might not mean a thing. For my subconscious mind, that means that I am one with God. I am not God, but I am one with God, and that he loves me, and that he will never let me be in despair, and that those many channels that I have written on my my paper that reminds me of who I am in him, that statement calls me back to that place of knowing that my overall supply is not from my job, but it is the God of the universe who owns everything. And if me, there's a scripture that talks about if we being evil or carnal know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our heavenly Father? There is no lack. There is nothing missing in God, nothing at all. Our world and our situation is impoverished because of how we think about who we are in God.
You are so excited.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I said you were so excited. I'm sorry to cut you off. And the reason why I interrupted you is because, again, under the subconscious mind, it says your subconscious mind functions automatically whether you make it an effort to influence it or not.
Right.
Thoughts of fear and poverty and all negative thoughts serve as stimulus to your subconscious mind. Unless you master these impulses, which is what you did, and give your subconscious mind more desirable food upon which it feeds, and that is exactly what you did to succeed and to calm those thoughts about fear and the impact. You know what? We have about 10 minutes left in the show. I want to remind Ian or any of our listeners, if they want to get in and ask a question of our guest, they need to raise their hand because she is on a roll. And it is so refreshing to hear someone that has taken the words off the page and have incorporated them in every area of their life, and they can specifically talk about it. And that's what you've done. I think this is exciting.
It is. It really is. And I agree with you that our school system, even not just the school system, because I just believe our present condition in the United States of America and worldwide, the thing that is impacting us the most and continue to contribute to the negative stories that we see in the media is the fact that there is not enough. There are not enough groups. There are not enough people who are speaking words of life, who are teaching how to not only speak words of life, but live by the words of life, to follow after or to work with the laws of the universe that God has created for prosperity. Everything, when I think about the world, I'm looking at trees right now because I'm sitting outside, and I look at
how the clouds are formed. I look at the sky. The sun is out, is rising right now. Everything that God ever spoke or thought still exists to this day. It still provides everything that God ever intended for it to supply. And here we are created in his own image, but we function so beneath what he has called us to function as, or who he has called us to function as, because we don't know who we are in him. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about humanity. We function below our privileged potential because we have no idea who we are and what he has invested in us as human beings. And so we mistreat one another, and we have low expectations for one another. And I'm talking about by and large. I'm not talking about groups of people who sit in mastermind and who really think and use their minds to develop and create, but those who are constantly filling the media with garbage and creating division amongst races is because we really have no idea. And there's not enough words spoken. There's not enough radio broadcast. There's not enough television media that focuses in on how do you change and become the optimal, the best human being and live the best life you could possibly live after the nature of God. Because that kind of media doesn't sell. But I believe, just like you said, you are intrigued by it and that it is so energizing and so powerful. I believe we just have to do it more. We have to do it more loudly and on purpose, because that is going to be how we make the changes and see quantum leaps. Ann and I talked very briefly about making quantum leaps instead of incremental baby steps. There are ways.
Need to go to Sharon.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, lady.
No. I just wanted to say I heard the word about doing it on purpose, and that was
just need to go
exceptional.
To commercial.
I think it's going to take us to a commercial break.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, ladies, and all of our callers, thank you so very much for calling in to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show with our guests Juanita Shanks and Sharon Jackson, both are on a roll this morning. And we are about to wrap up our show, but we do have a caller. Last four digits is 1964. We welcome you to this call, and your line is open. Thank you.
Good morning, and good morning, Sharon, and good morning, Juanita. Unfortunately, I think my question will take a lot more time than we have, but I just want to thank Juanita for pointing out what she mentioned about our role in the world, and how we are, if we were operating with the mind, Christ-like mind, all the stuff that are happening would not be happening. And unfortunately, a lot of my question, Ms. Jackson already asked Juanita. But Juanita, can you just give us a little bit of your strategy for implementing your plan? Because sometimes we have a desire, but we don't know how to go about implementing our desire and our plan.
Okay, there's another writer who I did not mention. I mentioned that The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale is one of the things that I love to review constantly, and Dreaming with God. But there is another writer. He's not a spiritual writer per se, but he's very in touch, I believe. And the book, hold on 1 second. Sorry. So my strategy, writing it down, writing that plan out, and it doesn't always come automatically. You don't know everything. But if you keep dreaming about it, if you keep thinking about it, when I'm at work jotting down, I know Ann used to say, keep a journal by your bedside or whatever. If you get a thought in the middle of the night, keep a journal and a pen right next to you so you can write on that journal about what it is, that new inspiration, that new thought that you've gotten that's going to contribute to where it is that you're trying to go. But writing the plan out, I know that most people don't want to do it. For a long time, I didn't want to do it. But I noticed that when God gives me something, and the reason why I say God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, but the reason why the most powerful God who knows everything, who when he gives me downloads, that's what I call him, it's important to write it down because he's going to give me other parts that he hasn't revealed yet. That's going to be impactful. The kinds of ideas that I get, I don't take credit for it. I thank God for using my mind. Yes, he does use our mind, but I give him credit because he is constantly giving. He's so liberal with his ability to give us solutions to world problems. But I don't think that we're always faithful and taking his ideas and concepts and writing them down so that, you know, there's a scripture that says, write the vision, make it plain so that they that receive it can run with it. Well, if it's not written and it's not plain, people cannot run with it. They're not going to understand. I noticed that there was a time when I was a community relations manager for the city of Miami with the Liberty City Community Revitalization Trust, and I worked with several different organizations. And one of the things that one of the supervisors would tell me was, Juanita, you have great ideas. And, you know, you believe in what you're saying, and it's powerful, and we believe it too, but saying it only is not enough. It has to be written down so that somebody else who may not get it the first time you say it can actually review it again and follow what you're saying do so that it will be successful. So writing it down, I believe, for us is key to taking the action steps because they're written and they're plain enough so that other people can also follow them. Because you can have a great business concept, a great idea, something that you want to be impactful to the world, but you're only one. And alone, you cannot accomplish it. The writer that I'm talking about, he talks about mavens, connectors, and salespeople. And if you want something to have a greater impact, you have to connect with connectors, mavens, and sales people who are able to convey your idea again and again and again so that it is duplicated so that it can prosper at the level that you intend for it to do so.
Yeah, that was I know exactly what you're talking about, the black author.
Malcolm Gladwell.
That's correct. That's who the book is. Connect.
All right, yes, and you are a connector. You are a connector for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Juanita. And I think that the book, Think and Grow Rich, which is the focus of the show today, in case anybody who's listening may not have gotten that connectivity, the book is a connector for all of us. And there are millions of lives that have been changed and impacted positively by Think and Grow Rich. But we have to actually think to grow it. And sometimes we miss that in the title of the book. So with that, we're going to prepare to close the show. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for all of our callers and many people who are listening on the line that did not have a question. We really, really had a really good show, and we are going to end the same way we started the show, which is with a commercial, and we will look forward to seeing all of you back here next Saturday for another special guest. Thank you for listening and see you next Saturday.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.